I'm Leslie Cornwell, certified nurse midwife with midwifery business consultation. I have Jackie here with me. She's an amazing certified professional midwife that I got to meet a few weeks ago. And we really got to talking about the power of side hustles and additional revenue and what that has for midwives. So Jackie, tell us a little bit about yourself and we'll talk about both of our little side hustles, the basics and why it's really helped out us.
Amazing. Thank you so much, Leslie. Great. So as Leslie said, my name is Jackie Dubord. I'm a certified professional midwife in Maine. And my journey to midwifery was a twisty one. I think for many of us, it is that way. At least that's been my experience in talking to other midwives. So, you know, I was definitely always fascinated with birth and pregnant people as a young child, but I had no idea that midwifery was even a profession that was available to me. It was not even on my radar growing up. And I was actually pre-vet as undergrad, but I kept being drawn. I would see internships for like in the labor and delivery ward at the local hospital, and I was always drawn to do that. So that was kind of, you know, a first little inkling that that was something that was going to be keep coming back for me as a passion. and anyway, I ended up not being pre-vet, and I got into maternal and child public health. And while I was in graduate school, my advisor was a nurse midwife, and I learned a lot about the midwifery model of care. And it was, you know, that all just kind of snowballed. I met some very inspiring midwives and decided it was pretty much just a no-brainer. I knew that I was meant to become a midwife. And looked into all the different midwifery routes and decided that being a home-based provider you know, either solo or group practice, but working for myself ultimately was what I wanted to do, and serving birthing people and birthing families. So I went to Birthwise in Maine, a 3-year program, and I've been practicing as a midwife since 2011 in rural Maine, mostly in birth center and home birth. And you know, it's been a wonderful, like, it's like hard to believe that it's been a decade. It is, you know, as if you're watching this and you're a midwife, you know how rewarding the work is, how all consuming it is. I always
a lot
knew
of what you and I talk about was just the journey. We've both been a midwife for 10 years, but I had my babies in graduate school and you were practicing as a midwife for a few years and then had your babies. So if you want to talk a little bit about how, like, I think you and I had very similar core of like, once you become a mama and you're a midwife, there's such a dynamic present.
Yeah. I was just about to jump into that. I always knew when I started midwifery, I knew, or practicing, I knew that something was going to have to shift once I had a family. And I was so like up to my eyeballs and just work that I wasn't even, you know, I had no personal life, which is kind of a whole other, you know, thing we could talk about. But I really had to be intentional about, okay, wait a minute, if I'm going to wake up and be 60 and not have a family, if I don't put some boundaries around my time and what I'm available to do and actually put myself out there. So anyway, I did meet my husband, and we have two beautiful boys now. And I knew from speaking to, older midwives when I was a student that I was going to have to shift the way that I practiced once I had my children. I can remember just so clearly, an elder midwife looking me in the eyes and saying, be really clear that you want to practice when your babies are young, because people are always going to be having babies. You will never get that time back with your children, and you don't want to have regrets. And that stuck with me. But it's really hard when you are especially a solo provider in a rural area, and there's not a lot of other places that you can refer folks to turn people away. So You know, that's been a constant juggle for me. And I tried to balance it all when I just had my first son. I took about a year off of practice before going back to births, and then started reincorporating. I was pregnant during COVID, really picked up my practice. I had my baby in July, so I wasn't planning to work up as close to when I had my baby, but I did because I had taken on a bunch of people that were transferring out of hospital-based care. And I actually saw somebody outside in my garden when I was in early labor. Like, that's how
crazy. How commingled those boundaries had gotten when you feel this.
Yes.
It's tough because you feel this calling to women you need to serve. And it's so much harder. If there's like three other midwives in the area, your guilt goes away because you're like, okay, she's getting great care. There's this lady over here. But when you know there's not a lot of options in your area, you feel so torn. Like, I want to be there for my family, but I want to be there for their family because I want this option for them. And so we need more midwives for sure.
We definitely need more midwives.
With the side hustle, I was very intrigued. Like, you and I connected on LinkedIn, and I always love to meet midwives that have businesses, side businesses, unique things, because it helps to inspire opportunities, possibilities for midwives. So if you want to talk a little bit, you don't have to go in details what your side hustle is, but just why you created another revenue stream in your life and how it's benefited you and midwifery.
Yeah. Actually, that's part of the reason why I became an IBCLC before I even had children. I was kind of had this, you know, idea in my head of, okay, this would be an option for me if I potentially wanted to. I mean, aside from being passionate about the work, to have more like shift type work, because that's not the type of work that I do as a midwife. You know, hospital based, salaried, something a little bit more concrete. It was just trying to create options for myself, but. You know, even now it's like, I don't want to be beholden to an employer. Basically, I want to work for myself. I think once you get that taste, it's really hard to go back, and I want the flexibility. And you know, I want to be able to create time and financial freedom for myself, which is, I mean, those are kind of the buzzwords, and what is, you know, what that means for you is going to be very individual. But when my son was just, my second son was just a couple months old, I was presented with an opportunity for a side gig that I am very passionate about and feel very aligned with the company that I've chosen to partner with. And it's totally outside of midwifery, but I will tell you that it has opened my brain to how little how little knowledge I had about my own personal finances, creating a plan for my personal wealth, creating sustained wealth, really telling my money where to go and what my money to do for me. And just because we are in a serving, caregiving profession doesn't mean that our needs and our families. Stability needs to fall by the wayside. And, you know, I want to retire with dignity. Prior to this, I had no like plan for my retirement. I'm just like scrambling to get out of student loan debt. I'm taking on births for barter. You know, you're
thrival people versus thriving.
And it's, and trading your time for money. And you know, what happens if I have a baby, if I get sick, if my husband gets sick and there's nothing else coming in. So I'm all about creating multiple revenue streams for everybody. And I think midwives, you know, obviously in particular, we're both midwives and talking about that, that's something that I think everybody should be thinking about, whether it's a side business that you create yourself, or if you're partnering with somebody else and they're doing a lot of the legwork and it's kind of a business in the box for you, whatever it is, like, don't have shame around that. And it's just smart.
I think just for in general with women, it doesn't even have to do with midwives. Like, I am so passionate about financial empowerment, woman empowerment, and having accessibility. There's so many women that'll stay with their partners because of financial instability if they do it on their own. Like, I want women to have choices, not just birth choices, but to have financial choices. People don't realize how much when you're dependent on a paycheck every 2 weeks, and if all of a sudden you get laid off or you don't have a cushion, that subconscious anxiety that's always present when you truly have diversification, not just in your financial portfolio, but in your revenue new streams, even your business. Like when you talked about being an IBCLC, having like multiple ways that you can brand yourself as a midwife reduces the risk. If all of a sudden you decide I'm going to take off some births, you can still have some revenue coming in while you're doing XYZ.
Exactly. That's such a good point, Leslie. I mean, that is also a huge piece of it for me, and stepping into doing something like this is being able to share that with, as you said, the majority is, you know, other women, and we are so intimately invited into people's lives and know firsthand how many people really could benefit from having an opportunity for an additional income stream, whether it's like what you said, they are basically beholden to their partner for financial stability, or, you know, or whatever it is, or they're just
for a job they don't like, but they want to leave, and they feel cornered. Like, I think it's about that possibility of what if, like, what could this grow into? What could I create? We have this powerful glass ceiling we mentally put over ourselves of what is possible. And so I think there is so much power, and so many people make assumptions having a side hustle, having a business is hard. And I like to argue, it's not so much it's hard, it's choosing, am I going to watch a movie tonight after I put the kids to bed, or am I going to work on my project and invest in myself, whether it's professional development, whether it's recording a video, whether doing a live seminar for education and branding. Like, we make choices in life. It's not so much it's hard, it's what choices. And I look at it as an investment, this springboard that I'm going to 5-7 years from now be in a very different place versus many people. Yes, maybe they got an extra Friday night, they got an extra XYZ movie in, but they're going to be doing that same thing in 5 to 7 years, or be even. So that's where I think the power of side hustles, and there's so many great ones out there. What was the turning point in your life where you decided maybe I need an extra side hustle? Was it when you had your kids, when you met your husband? Like, when did you start going down this rabbit hole?
So it actually, I think it was really apparent when I had been working, like up to my eyeballs. Like I said, I was a clinical director at a midwifery school. I was on faculty. I was, precepting multiple students and, clinically practicing as a midwife. So, you know, like many of us were wearing lots of hats, and I was salaried, there, even though I would, you know, I was working insane hours and was feeling, I was starting to have panic attacks, totally shot. And I knew that I really needed to make a big change there. This was, right around the time that I was, I stepped away from a lot of those roles shortly after I got married, and I started my own practice. And so there was this lull of, all right, you know, I'm establishing myself in a new community. I am getting clients, but I have to do something else. I'm not making what I was at my former position, even though like mentally and physically, I am in such a better place. Financially, I'm not. And, I was like, you know what? I have to find something meaningful. I don't really want to be finding anything that's available to me for minimum wage in my area. I want it to be meaningful work. And that's when I started to, that's when I became an IBCLC, which, you know, wasn't overnight. That was a process. And, I also do abdominal therapy. So it's kind of crazy. I was traveling to San Francisco, where I'm from, regularly every month. I have, it wouldn't work. It only worked because I have travel passes from a family member who's in the airlines. But I was like going to San Francisco and doing work there, and just like trying to cobble something together, basically. And it was like, this something needs to be more sustainable. But that was, I think, the beginning of how do I create the life that I have dreamed to have. I work so hard to have these degrees and to help people. And why is this so hard for me to just get by, you know?
I had that same wall in 2017. I think that's what makes people question and wonder when you're not comfortable. You hit this wall of exhaustion, or you feel like life could be better than this. Like my wall was in 2017, where I'm working harder and harder and harder and making less money. And I'm like, this isn't the path. I'm getting more stress. I'm feeling more anxiety, the panic attacks, the mental health side. I'm like, I'm a smart person. I'm a hard worker. What am I missing? What am I missing? Like, I was raised in this middle-class mindset that you work forever, you get a paycheck, you retire on your pension, your comfortability. And I just started stepping back like, okay, obviously the rich have this figured out. Not very few start out that way. And we live in this wonderful United States where it's possible to become rich. So I literally just, when I was in my dark place and the practice closed, I was Google searching, how do the rich think? How do the rich make money? How do they think? And that was my rabbit hole. It was consistent themes, multiple revenue streams, multiple passive incomes, and they were leveraging other people's time for money. They weren't self-employed. They weren't. And I stress to midwives, it's not, if you can create a business system, you're now serving more people. If you create a birth center franchise, you have 3 to 5 midwives that don't want to run their own business underneath of you, because there's people out there and that's okay. But how many more people we can serve, because we do run out of time. Like, I think that's what a lot of midwives, when they start their own private practices, they hit this wall at year 2, 3, because they're like, well, I'll mow the lawn, I'll do the accounting, I'll do QuickBooks. There's eventually a point where you run out of time, and have you budgeted your practice to handle an exchange of your value? Like, I think that's the biggest challenge I'm seeing over and over again, is return on investment and valuing our time and creating things that us being part of that business is icing on the cake, versus we are required to be there. Because like you said, if you want to take a vacation, I don't know too many midwives take a vacation, because that's a huge dip in their revenue stream, versus they've created a system where they have multiple revenue streams. What have you seen other midwives do across the country? I've seen so many wonderful side hustles or just creative things they've started.
Well, the first thing that is coming to mind is actually a nurse midwife that I met on LinkedIn out in California, and she started a side gig with a social selling company 3 years ago. And she said, you know, she's just been slowly building, and she said she really leaned on it this last year with the pandemic. And it was like, thank goodness she had, you know, she just felt very grateful that she wasn't just jumping into it. She had kind of the foundation there, and then was able to really lay into it and build it over this past year. It was a plan B for her. and, you know, my mother-in-law comes to mind. She's not a midwife, but she's a retired school teacher, and she loves to thrift and sew, and she's been making upcycled bags just from cloth that she finds at thrift stores, and makes bags, totes, and sells them to the local markets for, you know, reusable shopping bags. I mean, that's,
you're taking what you love. Yeah. I was going to say, yeah, there's so many side hobbies and passions, and it gives people an excuse. Like, me gardening, I had no idea when I started that how therapeutic it is, like weeding and getting in the dirt and just having the, like being in the greenhouse where you don't hear the kids screaming in the background, the power that has. But then like turning it into, like, I've loved it just to the next level of finding a business, a side hustle my kids can get involved in, something that becomes a family venture, something that helps them, because I think it's just as much important that we have them part of the traditional school system, but we're also teaching them about options and opportunities. Like, our goal as parents is to better their life. And so, yeah, like doing a garden and talking about how you can grow strawberries, but they spread like crazy and you can sell the plants. And like we love making homemade ice cream. And so my kids and I have been doing research about regulations and what it looks like. But that's the whole point. You take something you love and you're probably already doing it, and you're probably buying paints and buying different stuff, and how you can sell stuff on Etsy. Like, the sky is the limit. I think that's the whole point of why I wanted this conversation with you, is I want midwives to really get creative of maybe within their practice, little extra revenue streams that aren't so dependent on the unpredictability of birth. Are there things you can add? Are there other wonderful people in your community that you can join forces with? If there's a lactation consultant and you can now have a sister umbrella marketing campaign. I mean, there's so many potentials out there. But like, yeah, when you're talking, I was thinking about all these wonderful midwives I've talked across the country, and there's very classic themes. The ones that have choices and now they can serve women. Like, we talk about the numbers and we get frustrated with insurance reimbursement. If you've got a side hustle, you don't get so dependent on the revenue of your practice. You can take more people. You can push the envelope of your fee schedule. And that's the whole point. We want to serve women. Sure. So if you make a side hustle, you make a revenue stream that's paying your bills, you can now make a nonprofit. You can now make a love and passion for your midwifery practice.
Absolutely. And to piggyback on that, I would say with all that, it's working smarter, not harder. I think you know, the idea, it can feel like overwhelming, like, wait a minute, I have to do something else. But the whole idea is that you're finding and creating something that, as you mentioned, you're going to be leveraging other people's time. You're going to be creating passive streams of income for yourself. Ideally, it's going to be running without you. You know, it's going to be a business, not a job. You know, for me, and basically just getting like a business in a box was very appealing, because I didn't want to think about all the logistics myself. I already am a business owner with my practice. And I wanted all the hard work, like all the logistical stuff, to be taken care of by somebody else. And one of the things that I have gained is this incredible community of it really is all women who are also doing this from all different walks of life, all other careers. And it's been like a ton of personal development with a compensation plan and a community that I didn't know I needed. So there's no downside to a side hustle. There really is not.
Yeah, and you test it and you try it. And to me, I look at it as like free training. Like, there's so many independent, like, if you don't want to just all of a sudden turnkey and create something, there's so many independent contracts. There's so many franchises and MLNs out there that you love jewelry, you love painting, you love marketing, whatever, something you want, wellness, you want to do. Like, I've talked to a couple of chiropractors that have the coolest side hustles. Yeah. And it's what makes you happy. What are you already advocating in this realm? And now you're going to reach a different audience. And like, I think of it, with the financial planning at Northwestern, I've educated them so much about midwifery. It's disgusting. So like, for you, like, going into this other side hustle that has nothing to do with midwifery, you are making a ripple effect, because they're going to know your side stuff. You're going to advocate to these other women. So we're just, to me, I look at, there's so many ways to promote midwifery, and it doesn't necessarily have to be catching the baby directly.
I love that. It's so true. Yeah.
So I guess the whole point of these videos, Jackie, is just to inspire. And I always like to leave the last couple minutes with just, from your years of wisdom and experience and being a mother and being a midwife and creating where you are now, what would you give tips to aspiring midwives or someone watching this a year later? What would be some just tidbits of what you've learned?
For the aspiring midwife?
However, you could do both. I tend to have more of the followers are the newer ones, the feisty ones.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
I know, I threw an umbrella under you. I say a lot of people really like to talk about just whatever comes to mind. If there's some words of wisdom, like you had talked about that elder midwife that had talked to you about boundaries. And I think the biggest wisdom I had gotten from my midwife mentor was just, you have one life to live. Life is too short. And there's always going to be moms having babies. But like you had pointed out, like with your kids, they're not going to grow up twice. They're only going to grow up once. And how can we create this balance in life where you're being what you need to at that point?
I mean, yeah, you know, boundaries definitely is one of the first things that came up for me. But with that, you know, I also think, we always have to live it ourselves. I think, you know, of course we can hear from others who have gone before us, and tuck those little nuggets away. And then I think, you know, we all are going to charter our own course and, find what works for us. But, you know, midwifery can be very isolating, and it is. My grandmother was a nurse and worked in labor and delivery, and she passed when I had decided to become a midwife. You know, she passed shortly after, so she knew that's where I was headed, and she was so happy, so proud. But she said, you know, it's the highest of the highs and the lowest of the lows, and it's beautiful hard work. So we lose ourselves in it. And we're so entangled with the families that we're serving.
We're with women, but we forget we're also the woman to be part of, to serve.
Yeah. And you know, people throw around self-care. I mean, you know, we're just inundated with all of that. And that, just like everything else, that is really individual, what that looks like for each person. And I mean, I can tell you to place boundaries for yourself and to practice good self-care, but I think you have to live it and maybe go over and like overextend and realize where your limit is personally and where you need to pull back, and don't be afraid to reach out for help. Find constructive ways, you know, enriching positive ways for you to take care of yourself. And know that we can't do it all. And definitely need to be training more midwives in all communities, representing all people. And that's the other thing that I'm very passionate about with my side hustle, is I've, from the beginning of starting it, I've had the goal of supporting BIPOC student midwives. I feel like that's the best way that I can support this work while I'm not actually practicing as a midwife, is training, helping support new midwives who are wanting to do the work in communities where it's needed most. And that's the other thing, is like you said, I mean, just so many more ways to serve are opened up when you've created more abundance in your life to give.
I think that's a perfect way for us to end. Thank you so much for your time today, Jackie. And I hopefully your kids will take a nice long nap so you can have some little self-care for yourself this afternoon.
Thank you.
Okay, I'll talk to you soon.
All right. Thank you.